40 years ago, the news that Nelson Mandela died would have caused white people in South Africa to dance in the streets. This week, the news that Mandela died caused white people and black people to dance in the streets. Context is everything. The whites 40 years ago would have been dancing that he died, but blacks and whites in a journey of 40 years danced together that he lived. And that is remarkable and commendable and inspirational in the human spirit. This whole story is an inspiring story of what we human beings are capable of as individuals and as societies. It shouldn't have worked. It really defies all reason and expectation. It's like the bumblebee and the hummingbird that's just structurally unsound and shouldn't fly. Throughout all of the neo-colonial world, the colonial powers that were given freedom and earned their freedom or fought for their freedom, the rule has been one man, one vote, one time. And then you've elected the dictator for life. And life could be 30 years like Mugabe or 20 minutes, depending on the society. South Africa was structured to fail. It was structured black against white, white Afrikaans against English, black tribe against black tribe, and just in case that wasn't enough structural conflict, let's divide off the coloreds also, so that the ethnic Indians and the mixed race, and we can have all kinds of racial categories in order to keep us apart and keep us competing for limited resources and power. Structurally, any wise person sitting and looking at South Africa would say they don't have a chance. They were set up for failure. But like the hummingbird and the bumblebee, something remarkable happened there. There was a peaceful transference of power, not once, but four times, from de Klerk to Mandela, from Mandela to Mbeki, from Mbeki to Zuma. That's remarkable. Violates the one man, one vote, one time rule. A peaceful transference of power in a multiracial, multiethnic society that had such a history of bitterness, of oppression, of suppression. It's hard for us to imagine that that could happen. But it did. It did not leave today a perfect society. South Africa has lots of problems. But its birthing as a modern nation was extraordinary. I mean, you can't blame the father of our country, George Washington, for the Tea Party, but I guess you can. But you know what I mean. George Washington is not responsible for all those things that happened after. The peaceful birth of South Africa and the transference of power, whatever happens today, tomorrow, in another generation, was an extraordinary event worth celebrating and worth being inspired by. What an extraordinary distance they covered within a very brief period of time. When we look at the father of modern South Africa, it is Nelson Mandela, more than anybody else. And it is a remarkable story. Now, he wasn't a perfect person. Not a saint, not politically or in his personal life. He was a complex human being. He started out life as one of the first blacks to go to university and to law school. He became a protester and a revolutionary. He was not opposed in principle to violence. He was not a Mahatma Gandhi in the beginning, but he was a pragmatist in the beginning, and probably throughout his political career, but I'll get to that. He was a pragmatist who said, we're not going to be able to outgun these people. Rage is not going to overcome hate. Our hatred is not going to overcome or convert anyone. We better try something different. Now, it's true. He had the 27-year opportunity to meditate on this when he was put in jail, in prison, much of which was under horrendous conditions. But as one of his friends said, he didn't serve time. He made the time serve him as he developed a political and moral philosophy, as he learned Afrikaans, which he didn't speak fluently, but he learned it well enough, as he conversed with his jailers, with his torturers, with his oppressors, and began the very process of building the nation while under these horrendous conditions. When I look at who he was when he came out of that prison, when he was sentenced to life without any hope or possibility of parole, and he did not give up on himself, he didn't give up on his movement, he didn't give up on his nation's heart opening up to a fuller sense of humanity. That in itself is remarkable in the human spirit, in any human spirit, and in the human spirit exemplified by Mandela. He made peace with his oppressors. When I look and do a frank and fearless inventory of my moral core, I have no idea how he did that. I don't see that power, that wisdom inside myself. I'm not a bitter person. I tend not to hold grudges. But 27 years, how do you not come out of that broken? I don't know. It's inspirational. Makes me think that maybe I could. I don't want to test the premise, but that maybe I could. Maybe you could. Maybe we have, as human beings, this power within us to heal ourselves and not be destroyed by what is going on, not simply around us, but to us. How do you come out of that with a heart that is still open and beating? How do you come out of that? It is not that he did not know bitterness and anger and rage. He did. But I know this is going to sound very unhealthy, but he suppressed it to a greater cause. He understood, in the words that I read first from Anne Lamott, that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die. He understood that his bitterness would serve no greater purpose, but would give to his then enemies the ultimate victory, and he was bound and determined to deny them that. He would survive or he would die, but it would be psychologically and morally intact. Now, this would be a nice place in a sermon, certainly, to talk about his spiritual values and the depth of his spirituality. But everything that I've read in the interviews of people who knew him is he was not a deeply religious person in any of the normal ways. Makes me think he was a closeted UU, but that's another story. He was in principle a Methodist, and there'll be lots of religious talk in this next week with various services, and everybody can see the aspect of him that they want to, but the seems to be the deepest truth was a core knowledge that he had of who he was and what he valued. He was a devout pragmatist. That's different from opportunist or cynic. But he understood or believed what would benefit his vision, how he could be directed to an outcome, not of vengeance, not of show trials, not of justice, not of closure, not of all these words that we hear in our society and all over the world. We must have justice. He wanted peace. He wanted a nation that was intact. Because if your vision is truly cosmic justice, you get into that terrible situation that Gandhi talked about. He said, an eye for an eye, and soon the whole world is blind. He didn't go for justice. He took the prison guards and put them in government. He didn't fire the police. He didn't disarm the army. He converted them. If you want to see how his vision worked for 10 years or how our vision works in the Middle East for 10 years, take a look at those two things and see whether you want to go for justice and revenge and want your oppressors to do their time so that you can have the joy of closure, which is never a joy and which never closes, or you open up your hearts and have truth and reconciliation instead of justice. I know it's a terrible situation to call into question the concept of justice, but there is a concept also of the greater good, of the good of the nation, of the healing of nations. Any of us who've ever been married or parents or children understand, that applies to most of the people here, I suspect, understand that if you're trying to get justice in a relationship, if you're trying to get equity, if you're trying to keep the books balanced, it's not going to work. What works is generosity of spirit, openness of heart, and the ability to embrace forgiveness. That's different from ignorance. That's different from denying what happened. It's different from forgetting your history. But it is not letting your today be poisoned by your yesterday. And that was his moral, political, pragmatic vision and the way that he spent his life. And it is remarkable. It is truly remarkable. We celebrate that life, and it's not just for South Africa. There's an example for all of us. There have been people in the world who have gone through journeys that are inspirational. And one of the things that is inspirational about Mandela's life is how it calls up other lives of value and of purpose. Other lives of people that you would not have guessed at their birth would be the people who they became, exerting the influence and changing and touching the hearts of people that they became throughout their adult lives. There was very little to predict that Martin Luther King would become Martin Luther King. A friend of mine who went to school with him said, he was an indifferent preacher. He caught up. He could attack the edifice of segregation. Rosa Parks sitting down on the bus, even if it's planned, that this one woman doing the right thing could make that kind of difference. When you go into of course, Gandhi, from a morally centered position, which may have had some pragmatism also because he knew that he was outgunned by the English, and taking it as a moral principle of nonviolence. There was probably some pragmatism involved with that. But one of the great lessons is nobody dares to believe that one life cannot make a difference. Whether it's a Nelson Mandela or a Rosa Parks or an Abraham Lincoln who said, with malice towards none, that's the heart of how you heal a nation. That's the heart of how you heal a community, of how you heal a family. It's also the heart of understanding the potential that every human life has to make a difference in the world. Don't have to raise an army. You don't have to conquer a nation. But small acts of great kindness, small acts of great forgiveness, small distances that we cover to embrace an old adversary and find peace, those are morally great distances and physically small different distances. And one of the things that Mandela's life teaches us is that kind of grace. He stepped down from power. Washington, George Washington, was offered another term. He was offered kingship. Mandela could have been president as long as he wanted to, and he was. And he set the example for his nation. Democracy is not an election. One election does not prove democracy. Democracy is when the loser of the election lives to campaign another day. Democracy is when the loser of the election wins another election and the power is passed on. Democracy is when we stipulate to the humanity of our adversaries and are not tied up in knots of hatred and revenge. Nelson Mandela's life is worth mourning, and it's worth celebrating. I love that there was dancing in the streets. And while our tradition in the West is there is a time to mourn and a time to dance, I do love the idea of getting those two activities tied up together. So that when we mourn, we also celebrate somebody who touched our lives, who changed our world. May we all live in a way of spiritual generosity to our friends, to people at a moment may seem to be adversaries. May we live in a way to learn not to drink the cup of poison that is bitterness, but with generosity of spirit and with malice towards none, lead lives that when we leave these lives, people will shed a tear and then embrace, and in that embrace, begin to dance.